Okay, excellent. So we're going to record an impromptu podcast.
Yeah, why not?
Why the fuck not? I'm just going to have a quick mini Mars bar before we start.
Sounds good to me.
As it's Halloween and I've got lots of candy here.
How did they get into your flat, into your apartment block?
Oh, I don't have to give it out to anyone.
Oh, that's right.
I mean...
You could do if you wanted to.
Yeah, they could be buzzed in if we really, yeah, if they wanted to be, but fuck them.
Yeah, that's what I think as well.
It was going to be me and my buddies Nick and Phil. We've all got big beards, so the three of us will answer the door. All I'm hugging.
Yeah, I'm dressing in a shell suit, blonde wig.
I'm dressing as Steven Seagal.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, so I've gone down to a local carpet retailer to get my hair.
Did you get fitted?
I did, yeah. I got it perfect. Perfect, yeah. Peak.
You got tassels as well?
Oh, I got the whole thing, man. I got the whole thing. I got the ponytail, the peak, the tassels. Yeah, no flies on me, sir.
No. There should be a lot of flies on Steven Seagal, really, because he's aged for a shit.
Yeah, and also considering he eats so much lard and fat.
Yeah. We should actually do a picture, shouldn't we, where he's sweating, saying, I got the meat sweats, Johnny.
I got the meat, Johnny. I've eaten too much beef. I've eaten too many boar, Johnny.
1 year ago in 2012, a crack duo, one martial arts expert and surprisingly good mimic, the other a weapons specialist and professionally bearded, were sent to separate recording stations thousands of miles apart to do an 80s and 90s action commentary podcast for a crime they happily committed. Something James Spader told them about that involved an industrial drum of coconut butter hand lotion and a common household whisk. These men promptly created a passion-filled wave of action adoration that swept throughout the internet underground. Today, still wanted by Steven Seagal for making one too many jokes about his expanding gut and knitted hair, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you love action, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you should be listening to Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid commentaries. This podcast, people, explodes!
Hello, 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 and welcome to Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid Commentary Podcast. I am Dr. Action.
And I am the Kick-Ass Kid, and if this podcast goes under 50 miles an hour, we literally explode. Good evening and welcome to our Welcome Back show. So literally, welcome back to the Welcome Back special. And what are we doing this week, sir?
We're just going to have a quick chat about the action films that are currently around and maybe mention a few from the year just been in, sort of not quite gone yet, but
it's kind of our 2013 action roundup, because we haven't, I mean, we've had Escape Plan now, apart from sort of Grudge Match, which is more of a comedy. What have we got coming out? Because Arnie's new one, Sabotage or whatever, isn't out till next year, is it?
No, we only got Homefront with the Staith.
Oh, yeah. Homefront with the Staith. Love it.
Thor. And when's the Raid 2? Raid 2's not till next year, is it now? The worst one.
Yeah, next year, I think.
I think they're a bit ambitious with their 2013 release date. So, but most of them have been and gone, and we've enjoyed a lot of them.
So it's our 2013 action movie roundup. Let's call it that for the moment.
It's Roundhouse Kick.
Roundhouse Kick, indeed. To the face of movies. And also, you know, because they haven't been successful at the box office, which has been a massive shame. And, you know, we're all about getting people to rethink their idiocy and to see these movies, because they're well worth it.
Absolutely. Anybody who's been to see Escape Plan will know that.
Yeah, I think that it is suffering from what I found, what I was saying about the Argento films on the Aftermovie Diner recently, which is people have this memory of 80s and 90s action movies where they don't see the flaws. Do you know what I mean? And we don't. Mm. I mean, when we watch them, we don't really see the flaws. We love them for what they are. But I feel like when they watch action movies now, they have something in their brain that is, I guess, action, 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 action all the time, or that doesn't include characters, or doesn't... I mean, I don't know what it is, but they seem to watch these modern action movies and just be like, well, you know, it wasn't as good as, you know, Double Impact or whatever, like, name your 89. And that's simply not true. Like, there is as much action, if not more action now. It's as spectacular, if not more. So it doesn't quite have the cheese factor, I guess. It doesn't quite have the humor. Although Escape Plan, I mean, Arnie in Escape Plan is incredible. I mean, just amazing. Funny and varied and weird and wonderful.
I think he's the best thing in it. I really do. And I love Sly Stallone, but Arnold Schwarzenegger is fantastic in Escape Plan. He gets back to his witty one-liners.
Yeah.
And you just want to punch the fucking sky into smithereens when he picks up that big gun from the helicopter.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's just amazing. He just starts mowing mothers down. It's great.
I said to you, I think, before Escape Plan comes out, I said, if it's got Arnie, a big gun and a helicopter, that can't be a bad film. If your movie includes a helicopter, Arnold Schwarzenegger and an enormous gun, it can't be a bad film. And there was only a small clip of it in the trailer, so I wasn't 100% sure it was actually in there. So when the whole thing slows down and you see...
Because it's not a typical... I mean, people say, oh, I bet it's just like an 80s or action, 80s and 90s action film. It's really not.
No, it's an escape from prison thriller. It's sort of... Lock Up meets the prison section of Tango and Cash meets, just meets like a sort of typical drama almost.
Yeah, it's only, and you know, the last 20 minutes is pretty much full of action.
Yeah.
But it's got the two central leads, Stallone and Schwarzenegger, are just amazing in it. I don't think you'd have got that years ago, say in the 80s or the 90s, if they were starring in a film together, because there'd have been so much ego.
Yeah.
They'd been trying to outdo each other with putting more action in it, who's got the biggest, you know, who's got the highest body count, that sort of thing. But as they've sort of matured, they're just happy just to go on the film set and just make a really great film.
I mean, so Arnie's transformation post-Governor, you know, and obviously post-Scandal, has been quite incredible. I mean, you see him online and you see him all over various film sites and stuff and on video and in the films themselves, just being really, like, happy, relaxed, you know, nice, friendly, laid back, happy to do quotes from his old movies, you know, happy to take the piss out of himself on Reddit, you know, happy to tweet and thank fans and be... You know, we've got more access now to Arnie than ever before. It's completely a weird world that we're living in, considering just what an enormous star he was and is, as far as I'm concerned. And the fact that people aren't embracing that is sort of really sad, because he's clearly having the best time of his life. I mean, you know...
But it's kind of like, I've achieved all I want to achieve. He wanted to go into politics. He's done that. He wanted to become the biggest star in the world. You know, he's probably not the biggest star in the world now, but he was.
He's certainly got the biggest name.
He's definitely got the biggest name.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
And he's thinking of actually adding a couple of syllables as well.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is he?
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Stein and things and... Whatever.
And yeah. Frankfurt
and Stein.
So he's done all that, and now it's just like, it's like watching a bloke who's sort of, I don't know, he's sort of like, I've done it all, and now I'm just going to enjoy it. It's like a bloke in retirement who's just sort of like, I'm just going to go and fucking enjoy myself now.
But you see, that's given me more pleasure watching the movies. Just that attitude that he now has has given me more pleasure watching him in films. He's also... you know, a better actor almost as a supporting role. You know, in the Expendables movies and in this, he, you know, because he's not, Stallone is very clearly the lead in this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Schwarzenegger is sort of the supporting or the second lead, I guess. But he's so good at just kind of hanging back and saying the odd line and pulling the odd face and doing the odd bit of... It's just great.
That's it. I mean, like I say, when they were at their height, say 1988, 89, you stick them in a film together, they'd have had to have the equal amount of lines.
Yeah.
Whose name would go first on the poster?
We'd be arguing who got what end of the maid. it's what would happen.
But now, bit of maturity, and it's Arnold Schwarzenegger is sort of like, well, I'm happy just to play, not the second fiddle, because he does play a huge part in it.
Yeah.
But he's not the main lead.
Yeah, what's great about it is he's sort of... Like
he steals every scene he's in.
Oh, yeah, completely steals every scene that he's in. And he's... I can't explain it. He's just got better. And it's almost like he took Escape Plan because, you know, and they've said back in the day they weren't, you know, they were close as people, but they were also very competitive and, you know, would hate each other if their films did well and so on and so forth, which, you know, I don't really understand because I'm not that kind of person. I'm not a competitive person, you know, in particular, but that's fine. That's understandable. But it's almost like he picked Escape Plan because, you know, I just want to hang out with my maiden friend and make a movie, you know?
I think that is it. I think it's kind of like Roger Moore and Michael Caine when they made Bullseye, except Escape Plan's not crap. But,
right.
You know, it's just, you know, two mates who was just sort of like, let's just do it. Let's just make a film together.
Yeah.
And let's go for it, and we'll just enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, my feeling on the film as a whole... I loved the two guys in it. I loved it. I thought that my feeling on the movie as a whole is I really thought that the director could have been a lot better. I feel like it did fall down on the direction and the pacing a bit. And I felt that the opening was a bit long because we really didn't need to establish in quite that depth what Stallone did. Or maybe establish it in that way, because it was quite... I mean, we saw the whole... There's a long time before Arnie even comes into the movie.
I could have done without the scenes of... I didn't mind Stallone breaking out of prison to start with.
Right.
So that was good. I didn't need so much with the people around him. I know you had to have Vincent...
D'Onofrio. Whatever his name.
Yeah, that's the one. I don't think you needed... I mean, I could do without 50 Cent in any film anyway, because I think he's a bit of a shit actor. And the film seemed to clunk a bit when Stallone and that woman were together.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Him and Amy Ryan had absolutely no chemistry whatsoever, and their lines, their sort of banter back and forth to hint at a possible outside of work sexual dalliance seemed very unnatural.
I didn't buy it at all.
Well, it was just weirdly edited. Like, there was one bit where they were getting into the car and she says something about come round for dinner and he's like, well, basically I'll come round and fuck you or whatever. that was the basic line of the back and forth. Well, I'm going to come round and fuck you.
I'm just going to fuck you in the mouth.
And I'll take the bag. Yeah. I don't mind. I'm that piggy.
I'll come with you and let's take a maid out of it.
Amy, did you used to be a maid? But no, you see, I noticed it because once him and Arnie were on screen, the one-liners work so well and they're so relaxed that with him and Ryan, it just didn't fit, man. It didn't flow. I could have got rid of all of that. You know, yeah. And it was almost a shame that there was that postscript at the end of the movie with her. It almost should have just ended with D'Onofrio in the container.
Oh, definitely.
Rather than that, let's try and repeat a ham-fisted piece of dialogue that didn't work in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But that being said, and while I understand that that might put some people off, that there was some clunky dialogue and some slight shitty pacing in terms of the director, once it becomes the Arnie and Stallone show, the script is surprisingly tight, the plotting is surprisingly tight, and the acting is just a joy to watch. I even liked the slightly peculiar fact that they had made the prison warden so ridiculously camp. I thought that was like they that was if there's any nod to 80s and 90s action movies, it's his character. Because, you know, he kills like butterflies and sticks them on a sticks them in a frame and all this sort of stuff while wearing a delicate waistcoat, you know.
I'd have said if they couldn't have got Jim Cazill for this film, Eric Roberts would have been perfect.
I would have liked some more 80s throwback actors in it. You know, I could have even gone for like a mad old Donald Sutherland as a sort of callback to Lock Up, or
yeah, or Robert Zadar.
Robert Zadar.
Robert Darvey.
Robert.
Or Robert Redford. Or anybody who's called Robert.
Bobbert. although it's interesting that you mentioned Robert Zadar and Robert Davi, of course, because over on the diner this very week, it's been our 100th episode where we are covering the Maniac Cop trilogy, which is very exciting. And even more exciting is that there may be a surprise guest. We just don't know.
Yeah, I'm doing a voicemail for your show.
Yes, you are. Yeah, that's the surprise guest. People didn't see it coming that my other podcasting partner would be involved in my 100th show. But that's the surprise. But yes, Escape. I mean, I saw Escape Plan recently. I loved it. There's a review on the website about it. You know, like I say, a couple of negative bits, but you know.
Yeah, but I've got to say, it's my contender of film of the year. I know people are probably thinking, well, you love action films, so it would be. But it just popped on every level. I thought it was really good. Like I say, it's not a perfect film, but I came out of it thinking, God, that was really, really good. Because even though I love action, I still go in and think, oh, shit, have I built this up too much in my own head?
Yeah.
And I usually sort of sit there in the cinema and think, oh, my, is it living up to my expectations? And it really was.
I think that's a massive problem with film criticism, is that people are like, OK, it's the first time that Arnie and Stallone have, substantially shared the screen. Let's see what they've done. And it's like, you can't really think of it like that. You know what I mean? It's what they did was they took an opportunity because of the Expendables movies. And we don't know how long this is going to last because X2 wasn't as popular as X1. And we wait to see what kind of business X3 does. Although there has already been rumors of an X4. So there may already be money. I don't know. But we may only have another 3 or 4 years to kind of wring this action out of the studios before Stallone and Schwarzenegger just can't get the funding because no one's going to see these movies. You know what I mean?
I can't see either of them going down the direct-to-DVD route.
No,
you know,
not
like,
really.
Like Seagal or Wesley Snipes or anything. I can't see him doing that.
Right. I mean, it's funny to say, but someone like a Lundgren or an Eric Roberts or a Van Damme or a Snipes has probably got more chance at sustaining the action career. In terms of straight to video stuff and certainly straight to streaming stuff now than Stallone and Schwarzenegger. You know, I mean, luckily, you know, touch wood, Statham is still belting them out. People still seem willing to give Statham money to put these movies out, which is just great. And I hope they do for a long time yet. Homefront seems to have had the biggest advertising in the States of any of Statham's movies. I mean, there wasn't anything like the advertising for Safe or even Killer Elite, which had, you know, De Niro and Owen in it. Homefront seems to just be all everywhere I look.
Do you think that's because James Franco is quite popular now as well?
I mean, possibly, but a Thanksgiving week release for a movie is huge. I mean, that's massive. You know what I mean?
When's that?
Thanksgiving is the third Thursday in November.
Right. So when's it coming out in England? Homefront.
Don't know.
It's around the same time.
But I mean, that's huge. That's like, you know, you have July 4th with Independence Day releasing weekend, which for the longest time since Independence Day was like Will Smith's big opening weekend. All his movies came out then. You've got Christmas, obviously. You've got Thanksgiving. I can't really think of any other big weekends that you have. But, I mean, it's pretty exceptional. I mean, you know, they're banking on people having a big family meal and then going out to see a Statham movie. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, well, I should be going to see it. I've just looked at the 6th of December. I've got a fucking gig.
You're doing stand-up that night?
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind.
But I'll still see it.
Yeah.
I think it's actually stand-up in a cinema.
Why don't you do the stand-up while it plays in the background?
Yeah.
Or introduce the film, do stand-up, then roll the film. That would be
better. Yeah, we've got other acts on. No, we've not. We're watching Statham.
Yeah, we're watching Homefront. Shut up and sit down.
Sit down, you slags.
Yeah, shut up and sit down. So, you know, we've got that. Arnie has got supposedly Sabotage, Terminator 5, and Triplets coming up. Stallone is doing Grudge Match, which again has been advertised quite a lot and could be quite a sort of family comedy success at Christmas. So, I mean, look, they're not down for the count, but considering the Last Stand Escape, Last Stand Bullet to the Head and Escape Plan have not been, you know, have not lit up the box office the way people hoped it would after X1 and 2. And even after Rambo 4 and Rocky 6, you know, Stallone has not got long before he needs another hit. You know what I mean?
No. The thing is, I suppose he's still... He can always go back to just writing for other, you know, young actors anyway, can't he?
Yeah.
So I think Stallone will be around. You know, a lot of these people just move into directing because he wouldn't want to be, you know, in a film directed by Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great director. I mean, I think it's, I understand why, but I do honestly think it's sad that he did not continue with X2 and X3 as director. I would have loved that. I really would. Because X1 gets better every time I see it. It really does. So it would have been amazing. But I did see Red Hill that Patrick Doodad, who's whatever his name is, who's directing X3, did.
Patrick Hughes,
that's it. And I was fairly impressed. It's got a nice sort of First Blood feel to it, so we'll wait and see. You know, there was a lot of talk on Stallone's Twitter that they were going to blow the Raid out of the water with X3. So them some big words. We could be in for quite a film.
Let's hope so.
Listen, yeah, all you can do is reach for that, man. All you can do is push for that. And if that's what comes out, fucking A, great.
Yeah. I'm not too sure about this Expendables now, are you? Some of the people that are involved.
Meryl
Streep?
Yeah. I don't really see Meryl Streep with an Uzi.
But I thought the whole point of the Expendables was getting people from the genre and putting him in a film now. Meryl Streep's never done an action film.
No. I mean, my main problem with the Expendables, I have to say, is that the Expendables was put together by Stallone, who had a clear, singular vision, who had a bunch of friends he could call upon, and who could put it together in a package and put it out there. If you don't have that, if you just have a bunch of producers who are saying, oh, wouldn't it be great if we did this with women? And here are some of the women we'd like because they would be box office gold.
Well, it's about money, isn't it?
It's not the same. What I'm saying is it's not the same thing.
No, it's totally not. No, they're doing it for the wrong reasons.
I want to see an Expendables movie. I want to see a female Expendables, but I want to see it put together by someone who's like, we're not making this movie without Cynthia Rothrock. We're not making this movie without Michelle Yeoh. We're not making this movie without Pam Grier. I want someone who has some vision to it rather than, well, we'll get Cameron Diaz, right, because she was in Charlie's Angels. It's not... You know what I mean?
Let's get Lucy Liu back as well, Andrew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. No, it's not.
No, it's a really bad idea. You know what I mean? And look, I think that... who's the other one that they're going after from Resident Evil? What's her name?
Mila Jovovich.
That's it. Mila Jovovich has got every right to be in it. She's done a ton of action movies. Completely makes a lot of sense there. You know, Gina Carano, of course. If you want, like, young blood in there as well, which I totally understand with these franchises, you need, you know, that's why Statham came on board initially and why Atkins was in the second one and so on. you know, if you've got to have that, you know, you've got your Carano, you've got your Jovovich, you've got Rousey. We haven't seen her in X3 yet, but if she's any good, you've got her. But then you really need, you know, Sigourney Weaver's got a place in it, definitely.
Yeah.
You've got to have Rothrock, you've got to have Yayo, you've got to have Pam Grier.
I mean, compared to Meryl Streep, Helen Mirren does seem like a fucking brilliant idea, doesn't it?
Oh, Helen Mirren, I would happily go for. Yeah, she's great in Red. She's great.
Yeah, I mean, but when it was first said, oh, Helen Mirren might be in it, I was like, Helen Mirren? but now, they say, let's get Meryl Streep in. I'm like, no, just stick with Helen Mirren.
Yeah, right, exactly. Definitely.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Meryl Streep. She was in Mamma Mia, for fuck's sake.
I don't think Streep's going to do it. I think that's no. Avi Lerner just being a bit hopeful. You know what I mean? And again, you've got to shoot for the stars. I mean, that makes sense. But as action fans, if you're not mentioning... You know, Rothrock's the big one, right? If you're talking 80s, 90s female action stars...
She's the Stallone of the Expendables.
Yeah.
And if nobody's fucking not realised that, then they've got they're in the wrong project.
Yeah, completely. If you're going for an Expendables, you know, style movie, you've got to look at who were the big stars then. And if you're talking female action stars, you know, Linda Hamilton, fine, although she hasn't been in a movie in a long time. Sigourney Weaver. Yes.
But if they said Linda Hamilton, you'd be like, yeah, I get it.
Oh,
I
yeah, completely. It. Yeah, completely. Don't mind that at all. No problem. And then...
Sybil Danning. She was in a lot of action flicks, weren't she?
Sure. Yeah, of course. Let's have her in a few films. I mean, I would definitely have, obviously, Rothrock. I would definitely have Greer. Greer would be on my list in a heartbeat. But then Greer would be in all movies I made ever. So...
I agree with that.
Yeah. But, you know, I still say that the time for those B-movie versions of Expendables to happen was 2 years ago. I think that they've missed any boat that there was. I think that the Expendables movies will still continue to make enough money worldwide that they could probably churn out a fourth, maybe even a fifth one. But I think...
Yeah, I'd like to see it just so these guys have got something to do. They've got something on the big screen. Yeah, so you know, give them something so they don't have to go to fucking Romania every 2 months to make something that's they've got no passion in. Because Dolph Lundgren deserves to be seen on the big screen.
Well, he's incredible.
Jet Li, Jet Li will still work in China anyway.
Yeah,
regardless of whether he's in the Expendables or not, you know, he's a big name in China, so I think he'll get money to make movies, but no matter what.
I think what's been a surprise for me about the whole Expendables thing has been the people who, you know, it'd be one thing if it was scheduling, but it's not. It's the people who have not been in the movies because of demands. Like Jackie Chan was talking about Expendables 3 with like, well, only if I can be Stallone's sidekick and only if it can be this and it can be that. And it's like, no, Jackie, that's not the point of the movies. You know, Stallone and Statham are already set up as the...
That's right.
Yeah, as the two lead guys. You can't have, you know, suddenly Jackie Chan show up and it be the Jackie Chan film. And it's weird how people like Schwarzenegger and Stallone and all that have been able to put aside egos that they readily admit they had back in the day to make this great action franchise. And then you have Willis... And Chan, and now, you know, and obviously Seagal, not wanting to be a part of the third one because of money or ego or whatever. It's like
it is properly cutting off your nose to spite your face. But I tell you what, I am so looking forward just to seeing Mel Gibson in the Expendables 3. That is after Machete Kills.
Yeah,
I've got a feeling that I mean I loved Jean-Claude Van Damme in the second one. I've just got a real, real feeling that Mel Gibson might just blow him out of the water after Machete Kills.
I did like Machete Kills. I thought Machete Kills was very good, better than the first one. My issue with Machete Kills came down to the fact that when an actor, and I know he's recently been on The Diner. If you haven't heard the episode, you should go listen to it. But William Sadler took the role seriously. In other words, he played a proper hick sheriff, chewed the scenery up and spat out the lines with glee.
It was great.
Yeah, it really, really worked. My problem a little bit with the stunt casting of Gibson and Sheen and people like that in the movie is they seemed to be playing it tongue-in-cheek. And it didn't fully work for me because the movie's already ludicrous. The movie's already tongue-in-cheek. The reason why, like, the Expendables works is to some extent, and, this was a lot of the problem that a lot of people had with Part 2 was that it was too knowing and too comedic. The reason why the Expendables worked for me is that they're all playing characters. They're all playing a role. They're all doing a story. There's real things there that they're doing. Whereas with Machete Kills, it was here's Charlie Sheen being the president. Here's Mel Gibson being the bad guy. It didn't have the same...
Maybe because there's too many of them doing it. I mean, if it was, say, they'd have took Charlie Sheen out or it was, he was doing it straight and then you have somebody... just like Mel Gibson doing his role like a Bond villain,
yeah,
it'd have probably been worked. But because you've got so many people trying to probably outdo each other, it sort of has less of an effect, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that my favourite bits in it were Sadler, Savini, the stunts, and I thought Rodriguez was very good as well, Michelle Rodriguez. But
I thought she was Michelle Rodriguez. I mean, I think she'd be good for the Expendables.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I think her work in Fast and Furious franchise has definitely allowed her that. Yeah, I agree. And I think that with Machete Kills, I did really enjoy it, and I did think some of the action stuff was really, really good. I just feel like those B movies, those grindhouse movies, are a delicate balance, and I feel like sometimes Rodriguez over eggs it a bit in terms of these big sort of pantomime performances. I think it makes it all a bit Austin Powers in a weird way.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah. I definitely get what you mean. I mean, I thought it was a lot of fun, and the fact that they've already made the trailer for Machete Kills again in space. Is a great move.
Yeah.
Because people will want it. I really enjoyed the first one anyway. So I just see him as two films going along together nicely.
Yeah.
Savini was really good in it.
Savini was great. I loved Savini in it. I liked the guy, you know, the chameleon character.
Yeah.
I like the guy who was playing the first chameleon, the one who went into the bar.
Walter Goggins.
Yeah, he was great. Mm. But then when it became Cuba Gooding Jr., he was terrible.
Yeah, to Cuba Gooding Jr., that was very good. I thought I didn't actually mind Lady Gaga as him, as a comedian. In a kind of weird way. It's just very strange that if they'd have just had a character just for her who was like an assassin going round, that'd have been great.
Yeah.
The chameleon that can change its face was sort of... It is Robert Rodriguez just going, let's just do it.
Yeah, it gave him a chance to have him and her and Antonio Banderas and a bunch of other people in the film. But, yeah, I don't know. I did like it. I did like it. I'm not knocking it. I thought the action especially was great in it.
It's not a, film that's going to win any awards for its script, but
I don't care about that so much, but
action wise though, it's Rodriguez doing the stuff again, which is why I went to see it.
Yeah, no, the action is better in this one than in any of the other kind of grindhousey movies he's made. But you see, when you look at Dusk Till Dawn, the reason why that is still the most successful movie, apart from the script, is that the actors are playing those characters. Clooney is not winking at the screen during that. Keitel is not winking at the screen during that.
No.
You still watch it and you go, oh, this is a B-movie. It's got gangsters and vampires and, all the rest of it. But you're still engrossed and involved in the film.
From Dusk Till Dawn is just class. I absolutely love From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, it's my favourite Rodriguez film, hands down. It really is. And, you know, you can accept the stylization of something like Sin City because he's trying to do something with the comic book genre that's interesting and whatever. And those actors are still playing those characters. My problem with the stunt casting in Machete and Machete Kills is that the actors aren't putting enough effort in. And I think that that's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, could that be down to Rodriguez telling them to do that as well, do you think?
That I don't know. That I honestly don't know. But from, you know...
I mean, Mel Gibson won't play that sort of character in Expendables 3.
No, he won't be allowed to.
It's not that sort of film. But what I'm saying is, he can play a bad guy.
Yes, he can. Yeah, definitely, I agree.
You know, he's got that sort of... He's always had, like, sort of psychotic eyes anyway from Lethal Weapon. So I get the feeling that him and Stallone coming up against each other is just going to be a bit dynamite.
Well, there's a couple of interviews that I saw with him back around the time he was having trouble. And, yeah, he's not normal anymore, psychologically speaking. And I'm not saying that in terms of... Like, I'm not commenting on what he did or what he didn't do or what he said or what he didn't say. I'm talking about, like, when he was then put on the spot later on in interviews, or when people brought up that issue in interviews, which, of course, they're going to do. Instead of being humble, he was kind of weird. He was, like, defensive, weird, strung out. It was really odd to see. And I felt like, and maybe this was my fault, but I felt like some of that had rubbed off. And when I saw him in Machete Kills, I was like, I don't know if I like you on screen anymore, Mel. There was a bit of that about it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
That's just maybe me being too sensitive. But I kept, and this was my problem, I kept seeing Mel Gibson instead of seeing the character. Had he been playing a character, like I saw Edge of Darkness after he had all his trouble and stuff, and I actually really liked that because in that he was playing a character. I think had he been playing a character, I would have been much more behind Machete Kills. But
I think it's Expendables 3 is going to be the one.
Yeah, I agree.
In Stallone, we trust. You know, as much as Patrick Hughes is directing, you know that a certain Italian American's got the main say on that set.
Yeah, of course. I mean, even Statham says that even with each movie, you know, you're bowing to Stallone because Stallone is such a talent and has such history. You know, he doesn't say because he's a tyrant. He says because he's just...
He's a right grizzly fucker.
But he says because he's got the talent. He's got the history. He's got the ability. He knows how to do it. Now, we've said before about the Expendables movies, you don't have time to give each one of those people a backstory, but Stallone knows that in costuming and in showing little actions and in one-liners and stuff, you can give depth to a character and a backstory to a character quickly, easily, and enjoyably. And that's why he's such a skilled hand at doing films like that.
I couldn't agree any more with you.
With me. We've got Escape Plan, we've got Machete Kills, and then we can dial it back to the beginning of the year. One question I did have, Doc, is why do you think Willis continues to be successful and Stallone and Schwarzenegger are having trouble?
Why? I think...
Because Willis is a bit of a cunt. Isn't he?
I think it's simply because... John McClane. I think Die Hard is held with such high regard, rightfully so,
right?
Because it's one of the best action films of the past 30 years. It's not 30 years yet, but it's one of the best films of the past 30 years.
Right.
It rightfully so, about everybody's top five action films. It's great. And it's held in so much high regard, those films can still be made. And I think people still see that. I think Bruce Willis probably still sees that. That's why he thinks he can demand $5 million was it 1 million a day for each day of filming?
4 million he wanted. They offered him, they offered him three and he wanted four or something like that. Or they offered him two and he wanted three. I mean, you know.
But if you know, The Sixth Sense, he did well in that. I mean, his films have always made money.
Do you think it's because he's diversified a lot more?
I think it is. I think it is. And he's a good actor. When he wants to be,
He is a good actor. I mean, you're right. Stallone, apart from... Well, I mean, you see, Stallone had Copland. And
That was great. That was probably his best performance.
But I think Stallone has also said, when looking back at Copland, this might be with hindsight and the fact that he has just decided to come back as an action star solely. But he has said about his performance in Copland that he looks at it now and kind of goes, well, what was I trying to do? Like, what was I trying to prove? Why couldn't I have just been myself? You know, and obviously Schwarzenegger, unfortunately, has the accent. So while he can diversify around kind of comedy and action, no one's going to sort of buy him in a sort of gritty drama. I think Stallone could have diversified more.
I think he could, but I think he's probably his heart's just with action.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of... There's not many actors around that have sort of an appreciation for their specific genre, and probably the fans. I mean, Stallone, as much as, you know, he's making these films, you know he's also making The Expendables for the people who love action.
Right, of course, yeah.
As much as he's doing it for himself, I mean... You know, to actually get off your arse, write a script, and get The Expendables made. I mean, just think about it: getting all these huge action stars together, getting it sorted out, writing a script, keeping everybody happy, getting them on the set together. You know, it's easier not to do it.
Yeah, completely.
Or give it to a producer to do it. But he took it all on himself, and that's because he just loves the genre.
And do you think that when the action movies, you know, sadly and inevitably dry up because of box office or whatever, do you think that he will go on and become sort of an old character actor at a certain point? Because I think he's got the chops for it. I think he's definitely got the chops for it.
I think so. As long as Stallone's around, and I hope it's for a long, long more, you know, long, long time, I think there's always a place in Hollywood for Stallone.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Whether it's character acting, whether it's writing things, yeah, he can carry on writing action scripts, as far as I'm concerned, because I think he's great. I think if you ask, I mean, Homefront was supposed to be a Stallone project, weren't it?
For himself, it was, yeah.
And he gave it to Statham. So I mean, I think if you were to ask Statham, he'd say, "Oh, you know, Stallone can write the rest of my career." As far as action goes,
right.
I mean, I think Stallone is probably one of the best influences on Statham. You know, where he's probably said to Statham, "If people love you in this genre, stick at it."
Yeah, I mean, I think that Statham, to have the career, the longevity that he wants, you know, wants to diversify a little bit. You know, he's done Hummingbird. And he's mooted to be in this action comedy, which he's wanted to do for a long time. I would have preferred it with Will Ferrell rather than Melissa McCarthy. But, I mean, that's fine. I mean, not that I have anything against Melissa McCarthy, just that I would have loved... I'm a big fan of Will Ferrell. I would have loved to have seen a Statham Ferrell.
He will never completely, I don't think, break away from the action.
No.
Because I just don't think he can. I mean, I think he probably can, but he also knows that people expect him to be in action films.
Yeah.
I mean, he can do comedy. So he was great in Snatch.
And Crank. I mean, I still say Crank 1 is a hilarious film.
Yeah, I'd say Crank 2 is. So he can do comedy. He can do comedy. But I don't think he'll ever stray too far. I don't think you're going to see him... let's have a think... You probably wouldn't see him do a romantic comedy because you just wouldn't... People don't expect that of him now. I don't think he'd probably do it anyway because he didn't... I don't think he wants to diversify as much as, you know, virtually laughed in the face of the interview he said about fucking Star Wars.
Right, exactly.
So he sort of, he knows that, well, he knows that, he's probably also knows that a lot of the critics are complete and utter dicks.
Yeah.
You know, and if he was to go and do something like that, he's going to get slated before he even gets on the film set. So stick to action and, you know, like the comedy action, horror action, sci-fi action, because you can do all that. Because, I mean, Hummingbird is a drama action.
Yeah.
More drama than action, but he killed in it.
Oh, he's great in it. People need to go and see Redemption. They definitely do.
I picked it up the other day. I think it's, I mean, he's got my vote for the After Movie Diner Oscars for next year for that film. I think he's incredible in it. Schwarzenegger will probably get the Best Supporting Actor for Escape Plan.
Okay. I would be with you on that, probably. I haven't quite done my 2013 rundown, but yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. So, yep, the Statham will be around for a long time.
So what about, you see, if I'm thinking about it, Escape Plan to me is side to side with Bullet to the Head, but The Last Stand for me is still the most enjoyable of the old school actioners that we've seen this year.
I enjoyed that. I really did enjoy that. I did prefer Schwarzenegger in Escape Plan, and that's not knocking him for The Last Stand, because I think he's incredible in that as well.
Right.
and that, I can't believe that didn't do any better at the box office.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me.
It's such a great film, really well directed. The action set pieces are fantastic. Arnold Schwarzenegger's back on form. And not doing any. I mean, the problem is people are saying, oh, they're going in with these preconceptions that it's all like 80s style action, which it is. And, you know, these are going to, you know, people hate the fact that it's going to be old men running around thinking that they're young. And they're not. It's old men running around knowing they're old.
Yeah.
Very knowing, especially in The Last Stand.
Yeah.
It's a great performance, you know, where he's sort of crashing through windows and sort of getting up, and rather than getting up and running around, he's sort of like, I'm too old. It's a great performance, great script as well. Was it written with Arnold Schwarzenegger in mind?
I don't know. I don't have any information on that.
Because you kind of get the feeling that it is, and he picks it as his comeback film, his own starring comeback role, because he wanted to do it. It's a different character. So is that your action film of the year, do you think?
Escape Plan.
No, The Last Stand. Do you think
Last Stand. My action film of the year. Yeah, probably.
Yeah?
Probably. I think so. I would have to give it a little bit more thought, but I mean, I would imagine so, yeah. The Last Stand, I think.
That's, to be quite truthful, I think the action films, you know, what would we have about The Last Stand, Parker, Bullet to the Head, Escape Plan, Machete Kills. Would you class Hummingbird Redemption as an action film or more action drama? Because I see it as more like a gritty Mona Lisa type thriller.
Yeah, it's a drama. I mean, there's hardly any action in it. So.
Yeah, they've had the big ones like Iron Man 3. What else have we had in terms of action?
See, I always count them as comic book movies.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can understand that. But I don't think we've done too bad. I don't, at the cinema, with regards to action. If you said to me any of those films was your film of the year, I could see why.
Yeah.
You know, it's your action film of the year.
Yeah. I've got to rewatch Bullet to the Head, which I have on DVD, Blu-ray, but yeah, apart from that.
I love Parker. I absolutely loved Parker. And I've got that on Blu-ray and rewatched it, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I like Parker. Again, more of a drama than an action to some extent.
Yeah. Yeah, I know for you, Statham's Safe is probably the one of the high points, isn't it?
Yeah, when was that? That was last year, though, right?
That was last year, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of solo stealth action movies, Safe is probably my favourite.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I mean, I love the Transporter series as well, so maybe yeah. one of them. I don't know.
Yeah, that's great. Of course, we have Fast 6 as well.
Yeah, which I didn't like as much as Fast 5. I think they're going to be hard pressed to beat Fast 5.
I think so. I mean, even with it's going to be difficult because I just don't. I think we've said so many times. How the fuck are they going to beat Statham in Fast 7?
I don't know.
I can't say it. I enjoyed Riddick as well at the cinema, actually. That's sort of a sci-fi action, but I really enjoyed that. Vin Diesel went up a lot in my estimations for Riddick. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, my favourite of the Fast series will still be Fast 5, I think. And I don't know how they can possibly go anywhere with Fast 7 that isn't just Statham killing everybody.
It'd be a great end to the series.
Yeah. But then you got Kurt Russell has suddenly shown up in this series as well, which...
And Tony Jaa.
And Tony Jaa, right, exactly. I don't know what I'm more excited about now, except that why the fuck is Kurt Russell not in X3? Why is he in Fast 7, but he's not in X3?
Is he definitely in Fast 7?
Definitely, yeah.
Who the fuck is he playing?
No idea.
I mean, is Tony Jaa going to be one of Statham's henchmen?
No idea. Don't know. I know they trained together because he posted a picture, but I don't know.
I mean, that has to make... I mean, it's James Wan as well. I know he's done, like, you know, sort of the horror films, but he's got a point to prove. He could be really, really good, Fast 7.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hope so.
It's got my money, most definitely.
Tony Jaa and... I mean, imagine if it's Tony Jaa against Jason Statham, as in a fight scene. Why the fuck are Paul Walker and Vin Diesel even turning up on set?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, yeah, I don't... Like, how is Paul Walker still in these films? Because if anyone could get killed off, it's fucking him. Because what does he do? He's nothing. He's not even famous, except for these movies.
I like to be Running Scared, but... Let's put it this way, if his character was to get shot in the face...
Right.
He's replaceable, not so much...
First 2 minutes of the movie, you take him and... wait a minute, is she already dead? The
Jordana Brewster?
Yeah.
No, she's still alive.
Yeah, you take Jordana Brewster and you take fucking Walker out into the desert, Statham caps them both in the face, and that's how the movie starts.
Yeah. Like Paul Walker's like, come on, bro, I thought we were going to do these movies together. Nah.
Fuck off. The fuck are you even doing this so. For? Because I'm sorry, right? You have Diesel, and that other guy, the Tyrese guy or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyone from
Fast 2 could be taken out into the desert.
Lucas Black as well.
Yeah.
The first scene.
Oh, fuck, is he back in this one? He's back in this one, isn't he?
He's
back.
He should only be back for the first minute where you just see it opens with Jason Statham driving a minivan like into the desert whistling. Yeah. Just going out to the desert. And
talking to himself. Just going out to the himself. Desert, yeah.
He goes, oh, I love trips into the desert. Oh, I do fucking love it. I absolutely adore it.
La-di-da, la-di-fucking-da.
He drags out Jordana Brewster, Paul Walker, Tyrese, Lucas Black.
Yeah, Lucas.
Anybody who's not Vin Diesel, The Rock. And I didn't mind the other guy in it. What's his name? What was his name? The other rapper.
I don't know.
The
computer Ludicrous. Expert. Yeah, I like him. Yeah, he's all right.
I don't mind. Ah, fuck it, he can be shot as well. He gets taken out in the back as well. They're all shot. And you just leave Vin Diesel, The Rock, and Michelle Rodriguez to go after Jason Statham, Kurt Russell, and Tony Jaa.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's a movie.
Yeah, right there.
And you've cut down on your budget because they're not going to get paid as much, are they, Paul Walker?
I mean, I think if you've got Statham, The Rock, Vin Diesel, Tony Jaa, Kurt Russell in your film, I think you've got to know that you've got to kill those other characters off.
Yeah.
And Michelle Rodriguez, she can stay.
Yeah, I said that as well. She can definitely stay if she wants to. Definitely. When's that?
Because who did they kill off at the end of Six again?
The Japanese actor who was in Bullet to the Head.
No, I know. But didn't they kill off someone else as well in the plane crash?
Yeah, the Japanese guy's girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah, I wish they hadn't killed Han. I wish they'd kept Han and killed Paul Walker or Lucas Black. Like, if he killed Lucas Black at the end of Part 6, that would have been amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've just looked on the IMDb. 15th of August, we've got The Expendables 3. July the 25th, we've got Fast and Furious 7. That's two huge Jason Statham films in a month.
Yeah. I mean, Statham just can't be stopped, really. I mean, he's almost having a career, you know, a massive career despite public opinion. I mean, I know we love him and action film people love him and stuff, but, you know, his movies are not big box office.
Well, they cost a lot, do they? His own starring ones don't cost a lot. I mean, Expendables 3 costs a lot, and so does Fast and Furious 7. But Fast and Furious 7, even though it's a huge series, they know that it's a huge coup to get Jason Statham.
Right.
In action film regards.
Yeah.
Probably more because of the transporter sort of thing, fast cars. And also, he's a threat. Because, I mean, as much as, you know, Fast and Furious 6 is all right, I mean, the guy, Owen Shaw, what was his name? Something Evans.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? You couldn't see him beating Vin Diesel and The Rock, could you?
No.
But you look at Fast and Furious 7, you think, yeah, Jason Statham probably doesn't need anybody with him to beat those fuckers because he'll just do it.
But look at his run of films. It's just been great film after great film from Killer Elite onwards.
I'd agree. Certainly agree with that. Too keen on Blitz, but
I didn't like Blitz or Romeo and Juliet, but
I've seen Romeo and Juliet. It's quite good, isn't it? Who's a name?
And I haven't seen 13. It's about the one I haven't seen. I know it's got Ray Winston and Mickey Rourke and all those people in it, but I haven't seen that one.
I've heard it's absolute shite.
Yeah.
I think it's basically all those guys that are in it who are on the poster just did it as a favour for whoever it was, I think.
Yeah.
And I think he's got hair, hasn't he, Jason Statham? Oh, no, may not have hair.
Maybe not.
No.
If he has hair in a movie, it's no good.
No. He's got hair at the start of Hummingbird and he quickly shaves it off.
Yeah.
Which you've got to do. Leave a bit of stubble.
Yeah. Leave a little bit.
Leave a little bit at the bottom and the side. Just leave a little bit. Same length all the way around my head.
Fuck, Michael Shannon is in 13.
Michael shouts a lot of Shannon.
Yeah. Completely.
Yeah,
bizarre.
We did forget to mention that, didn't we? Man of Steel. That was a fucking amazing action film this year.
No, that was a big piece of shit.
If I meant if you've not got a fucking brain.
Yeah. If you've not got fucking eyes in your head. Man of Steel was a big piece of shit. I have so much hatred for Man of Steel. I can't even... Like, the two worst movies that came out this year, as far as I'm concerned, are Evil Dead, the remake, and Man of Steel. If there was some sort of German scheisse porn where you could line up casts and crew and take shits on them, it would be the Evil Dead remake and Man of Steel.
Yeah, but you say that, but obviously not on a day when Bruce Campbell was on set.
No, I've even got sick of him, I think. He was saying today on Twitter how he didn't like beards.
Oh.
It's like, fuck you.
Is his sole intention at the minute to piss you off?
I think it is. I think Campbell has completely lost his mind. I think, yeah. You know, 3 years ago, I would have said I want him in an Expendables movie, but now, fuck it.
If you ever come into a stupid amount of money, have to get Jason Statham, pay him a million, to just go up to Bruce Campbell and go, "You've offended my mate. He really likes your films."
just have him go up and go, "Why'd you sell your soul? Why didn't you stay fucking true to who you are?"
This is groovy. Watch this fucking smack.
But do you know what happened, though, dude? As my disenchantment with Campbell grew, my fandom of Statham grew. So Statham has edged his way in as now, like, my favourite actor.
He's definitely my favourite actor.
I'll see anything he does. I even sat through the whole of Blitz, so...
Oh, I watch Blitz, and when he's on screen kicking the shit out of somebody, and even his acting's good, it's just... It was like a steak that's got not a lot of meat. It's just got a lot of grizzle and fat.
Yeah.
There's no goodness there. But I'll see everything he's in. Everything.
Yeah, he's become my new one, I think. My new favourite actor. But, Campbell used to say, he used to have this joke on stage where, he would say, people asked me to say Hail to the King or Groovy or whatever, and I would say yes if I was your dancing little monkey, right?
Mm.
Well, he's become the fanboy's dancing little monkey, because that's all he fucking does now is goes out and says the same shit all the time.
What's this about Army of Darkness 2?
Oh. They've been promising that for 20 years. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, don't let me tell you I told you so, because it's horseshit. It's not news. It's just the internet going fucking bonkers because Campbell said at a recent convention, I'd be up for doing it.
Yeah, but it's fair enough saying that they'll do it. I think sometimes these directors and actors come out and just go, oh, yeah, we'll do it, just to keep people interested. Just to keep them sort of, a bit between the teeth. Oh, they're going to do it.
Do you know what keeps me interested? Making the films. You know what I mean? When Stallone said, I'm going to do The Expendables, 6 months later, The Expendables came out. And you know what? I was interested. But if he'd said, oh, yeah, I've got this idea, I'm going to put all these people together in a movie, blah, 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 and 3 years later we were still waiting for it, you'd be like, fuck off, not interested.
No, he says he's going to do it. Next thing you see, he's got pictures from the set.
Yeah, he's fucking doing it.
Those are boys. Then you have fucking Jones in this movie.
Yeah. This is me with fucking Wesley fucking Snipes.
All right, Snipesy. Yeah, we haven't made a... They've made a film together, Chaos. They're in Chaos together, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
It could be a big relaunch for Wesley Snipes, let's hope.
It could. Well, he's got that, and is it Shadow Walkers or something that's coming out, his zombie film?
Yeah, that was made before he went into Clink.
Oh, right.
We'll see how that goes. I wouldn't be surprised if they... has it got a release date? I wouldn't be surprised if they wait till Expendables 3 is out.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was coming out on demand. I don't know if it's already been released or not.
Oh, it might have. Oh, I think it has, actually. I think it's already out.
Yeah.
It's got a rating on IMDb. Not a good one.
No?
No, 3.9. But people are dicks anyway, so... rated R for bloody violence, grisly images, some language and brief nudity, so... Can't be all bad.
See, my prediction for Expendables 3 is that Terry Crews dies. That's my prediction.
Is that your prediction? Is that what you're going with?
My prediction is that Terry Crews dies. My also prediction is that any of the young Expendables are shit. That's my other prediction.
I'm going to say Toll Road. You go with Terry Crews. I'm going to go with Toll. No, actually, I'm not. I'm going to go with Kelsey Grammer getting shot.
He walks out of somewhere holding a coffee, saying, Barney Ross, are we over here? He just gets gunned down.
I walk out and go, hello, Barney Ross. And Dolph Lundgren go, warning shot. There we go.
No, I think that Kelsey Grammer have a cameo, obviously. Robert Davi, probably a cameo. Young Expendables would be shit. I think Terry Crews dies.
Oh, do you think they've brought back Jet Li to die?
Well, I'm surprised Jet Li's listed, because I've heard nothing that he's officially in it.
Oh, he's pictures of him on set.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's definitely in it. But obviously there was that big, is he going to be in it? Because I think everybody thought he was going to die in Expendables 2, didn't they? Because he weren't in any of the pictures. And he wasn't in it for, like, he was a fucking brilliant fighting scene that he was in the Expendables 2 with the frying pan.
Yeah, my feeling is that Expendables 3 needs to be the beginning of Expendables 2 for a whole movie.
If they can do that, it'll be the greatest action film of all time.
Because Jet Li needs to be doing some of those fights, because that was Raid-esque. That was the kind of quick fire action we expect in the Raid.
Well, do you think that's why Stallone said it's going to topple the Raid 2? Do you think he knows that he has to bring back Jet Li for the whole of the film to do that?
Yeah, because Statham can do that, Lee can do that. You know, Lundgren to some extent. Snipes, we don't know. Snipes is still a question mark, but he used to be able to do that.
Oh, he's a great, great fighter in his films.
We shall
wait and see.
I mean, if all goes well, I'd like to say Iko Uwais for Expendables 4.
Yes. Yes.
And I mean, I would love to have seen Tony Jaa and Iko Uwais in Expendables 3. That would have been amazing, rather than Fast 7. I would have loved Jaa. I mean, imagine that. Jaa, Statham, Lee, Uwais, and Snipes and Lundgren just fucking, you know, chop-socking people to death left and right.
Oh, yeah. It would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. Again, no women in it. We've got this Sari Givati. Do you know who she is?
Nope. Ooh. Quite simply, nope. No idea who she is.
She's sometimes spelt Sari Givati, is a well-known actress and model in Israel.
Oh, yeah. No.
But she's in that Hercules thing that's getting a lot of attention. Rennie Harlan's Hercules, which also has Kellan Lutz in it from X3. Scott Atkins is in it.
Could be all right. It's got Scott Atkins in it, so I'll definitely go and see it just with the Scott Atkins bits.
Well, I want to see that Metal Hurlant series.
Yeah, I do. It's never been released here.
No, I want to see them release it. But no, I mean, you know, that's the only other thing I guess we've got to mention is, you know, the fact that why isn't someone like Atkins, who's churning out tons of films and doing it, why is he not, you know, a bigger star now in terms of theatre performances?
I've just picked up Green Street Hooligans 3, Never Back Down with Scott Atkins.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be watching that and hopefully putting a review up on the website about it. From what I've been told, it's not a hooligan film at all. Anyway, it's just got that name just to sell it a bit more.
Yeah,
but it's basically Scott Atkins going around kicking the shit out of people, so it's not a bad thing.
No, not a bad thing. We've got Ninja 2, of course, but Ninja 2 again looks like it's going straight to Blu-ray. I don't really understand it.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, I would have thought that it'd be on the. At least have a small, limited run, at least at the cinema.
Yeah.
Luckily, next month, I'm going to see Dolph Lundgren's new one at the thingamajig, thingamajiggy wiggy.
Yeah, the cinema.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, so...
Well, he's got five new ones out. I mean, I couldn't keep up with all the Lundgren movies. I wouldn't have time in my week to watch all of the films he has coming out.
No. No, he's got one every week.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Oh, no, it's great. I mean, one day in my when I'm old and and he's dead, I can sit back and watch them all.
Yeah. Dolph Lundgren's just had Blood of Redemption and Hard Rush come out, with Vinnie Jones in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of action, but most of it's straight to video, which is sort of where we're going to have to stay, I think.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah.
Apart from Statham.
Statham the man. He-Man.
Because he's been humming. He should play He-Man. Oi, I am the Prince of Eternia, Adam. No, I don't want a blonde wig. Fuck off with your blonde wig.
Oh, did you see what I look like in Revolver? I looked a right cunt.
I will not be wearing a wig to play Adam of Eternia. I'm fucking him, man. Case closed.
You gotta put on this metal thing on your chest. Fuck that. I'll wear a wife beater.
Fuck that.
I do.
I'll wear a t-shirt.
What about a sword? I'll carry a flick knife, a fucking pen knife, and Gwildor can fuck off.
Man at arms, fucking old pervert, filthy tash.
You could play fucking what's it? You could play Man at Arms. Who's got a dirty tash?
I don't know. I could see maybe Lundgren playing Man at Arms with a dirty tash.
Skeletor, that should be. I'd have put Kenneth Williams if he was still alive. He'd be like,
hello. Who would I have put if we're going to recast? Let's just recast Master of the Universe and then let's call it a day. So Statham is He-Man.
Yep. Teela should be Gina Carano.
But topless. the whole time.
Of course.
There's not even one scene in which she's wearing any clothes.
I tell you what, I'm going to put friend of the show, friend of the diner mainly. I'm going to say William Sadler for Skeletor.
I like that, but played as Death from Bill and Ted. That would be great. Yeah. Who else is there?
As Beastman, I'd have Adrian Brody. He looks a bit like a beast.
Fuck Adrian Brody. Let's have I'd have Seagal as Beastman.
Yeah. I'll go for that. I'd have who's the other bad guys in Masters of the Universe?
Man at Arms, I'll have Lundgren.
Yeah, okay, Lundgren. Battle Cat, I'd have
voiced by Darren Chalabi.
Yeah. I think there's not that many characters in it, really, is there?
No.
You think about it.
Lizard Man.
Gwildor, I'd have Dinklage.
Yeah.
It's
not Gwildor, is it? It's Orko in the original
Orko,
one.
Orko, yeah. I'd have him playing Orko, but I'd have him going around on a skateboard.
Right.
Because the CG looks like shit. Yeah. So dress him as Orko and just have him going around on the... On a skateboard or a what's one of those things that people go around on with two wheels?
Oh, Segway.
Segway.
I don't know if they make dwarf-sized Segways.
They do. What's it's got one? Warwick Davis.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got one, so that's all right. That's
do you suppose, like, if you make an innovation like that, like the Segway... You're like, hey, behold, we've got the Segway. Someone goes, do you make a small one? Oh, fuck. Now we're going to make this a small one. I don't know how we do that now. It's a whole other thing. Do you make one for fat people? Oh, fuck.
You fucking midgets. You're a womp, womp, womp.
Yeah. Do you make one for people over 6'5"? No. You don't make anything for fucking freaks.
You got one for me? Tall and fat.
Do you have one for me, Johnny? I need it to be at least 6 foot wide.
That's what the new lawman needs. Needs Steven Seagal going around on a Segway with a blue flashing light on it.
Yes.
With him sweating with a meat sweat.
This takes all the energy out of being a cop, Johnny.
Yeah. Running over a dog. Oh, I ran over another dog.
Don't sue me, please. I give lots of money to dogs. But yeah, well, that's it. That's our show for this week.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. And we're going to be back probably next week with a commentary for the Mark Dacascos classic.
Drive.
Drive, you fucker, drive.
Yeah, he's going to drive a fucking car straight into Ryan Gosling because there's only one film called Drive and that's Mark Dacascos.
Mark Dacascos. So yeah, we're going to be doing Drive next. That's going to be our big return to commentaries. Until then, you can listen to the After Movie Diner, which turns 100 this week. And also,
happy birthday.
Thank you very much, sir. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But also, we here at Dr. Action the Kick-Ass Kid would like to urge everyone to be watching the Sony Movie Channel, as they have a wonderful series of action movies coming up, along with Universal Soldier Night on Friday the 15th of November.
Sniper Sequel Night on Thursday, 14th of November.
Anaconda Night, Thursday, the 14th of November. So they're doubling up on Sniper Sequels and Anaconda Night. Do you think there's going to be a Sniper Sequel that features a giant snake?
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Tactical Force on Monday, 11th of November.
Diamond Dogs on Monday, the 25th of November.
And more. And where exactly can we find the Sony Movie Channel? Is it an American thing or a British thing or Universal?
I think it's Sony Movie Channel is for the UK.
Right, so this is a message going out to our English listeners.
Yeah, so you go to www.sonymoviechannel.co.uk.
Or you can follow them on Twitter over at Sony TV UK.
And they started following us earlier on Twitter.
They did, because they know that we are all powerful and all about the action.
All about the action. So go and check them out. Go and have a look at the website. You'll get all the information about all the great action things coming up on there.
And maybe, sir, or maybe people follow the doc, you would watch a few of those when they air and tweet through them, maybe.
Maybe. Why not?
That's what you should probably do, being in the UK.
I should do that.
I would definitely
watch. Probably a perfect time to also do probably a Universal Soldier commentary.
Well, look at that right there. I have it on blue. I don't know if I have it on DVD.
I have it as well. We could watch that. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Let's figure that shit out and make it so, as they say.
Make it so.
Well, thanks ever so much, Doc. It's been a pleasure talking to you today about our action movie rundown of 2013 and the state of action in the Union of Action right now. So I think I might call that the state of the action union is what I might call it at this episode. But that's been a pleasure, sir.
Been an absolute pleasure speaking to you, sir. Good night.
And away!
There are men, and then there are second unit podcast men. The podcast you've just been listening to is part of the Second Unit Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at 2upn.blogspot.com or on Facebook under the Second Unit Podcast Network. Our fantastic list of shows include Drunk on VHS, We Came from the Basement, No Budget Nightmares, The After Movie Diner, Dr. Action and the Kick-Ass Kid, and Bloodbaths and Boomsticks. Take one podcast into the shower. Don't be a blithering idiot, Alan. We can give you the multiple podcast cleansing system all in one place your hair deserves. Our programming is available across all platforms from iTunes to Podomatic talks you to Stitcher, so you have absolutely no excuse. Listen today, and a free naked person of your choice will be shipped from Thailand to your door in a matter of weeks. The Second Unit Podcast Network, bringing you the action and leaving the boring stuff to the other guys. Bloody hell. Who does a girl have to blow around here to get a decent beverage?